Studs Terkel is one of America's grand old men. At the age of 93, he's come out with a new book, a collection of interviews with some of his favorite musicians. And it's quite a collection. Leonard Bernstein, Bob Dylan, Louis Armstrong, Mahalia Jackson, Janis Joplin, just to name a few. Terkel interviewed these musicians over the course of his 45-year radio career. Steve Paulson sat down with Terkel to talk about the power of music and to play a few excerpts from Terkel's classic interviews.
There are a couple things that struck me about the musicians you feature in your book. It's a very eclectic bunch of people spanning all kinds of musical genres. And there's a kind of democratic impulse that runs throughout your conversations, really getting at the liberating power of music and how music is often an expression of who these people are as human beings. Is that the way you saw this?
Well, that's a wonderful way. Thank you for using that description. I couldn't have said it better myself. That, of course, is it for me. Like when Floria Tosca in Puccini's opera sings her song Vissi d'arte, my life and my art, she means both. She connects her life and art as one. And I would spoke that song almost says it all. And Leonard Bernstein, for example, is a wonderful case in point. He's in the book. And his interest in all forms of music, not simply classical, symphonic, or operatic, but jazz and children's music and spirituals and gospel, he almost represents or speaks of that aspect of it as being integrally part of life.
I don't think anybody will disagree with the fact that music is one of our deepest levels of communication. You and I can talk for hours using words, but we can never communicate on so deep a level as if we sang to each other. But I mean, musical communication occurs on a very profound level.
And this thing connects, does it not, with musical education as an integral part of the overall education?
Well, I think it is
not a side item.
It's not a side item at all, no, because it is one of the ways in which kids can learn about forms, about disciplines, in a joyful way.
Why do you like music so much?
I don't know. It's always been part of my life ever since my father and neighbors. Remember, early immigrants bought Caruso records. Well, to me, it's very personal because I was a sickly little kid. I had asthma. I'd always whistle as I breathed, and breathing was difficult. But on hearing Caruso, whether it be, say, O Paradiso from La Fercan, this aria, as he reaches, John Chardy, the poet, says he had a similar experience. His uncle on rainy mornings would play Caruso records, scratch and all. And somehow, what he would do to you is just from the moment you think he's reached the top, he goes one step further. And suddenly it tells you the genius and the possibilities and the potentialities that in all humans. And so to me, with the asthma, I felt so good. He was better than any doctor I've ever had at it, you know? And so I called him my liberator. I was going to law school, University of Chicago, which on the south side of the city. And by this time, we had a little hotel, and we're in a near north side. So I was a streetcar student. I'd transfer, and one of the transfer points was Bronzeville. And I'd hear this music while waiting for the next streetcar. I'd hear this music coming out, not music stores alone, but all kinds of stores. Big Bill Brunsey and Memphis Slim and Memphis Mini and Roosevelt Sykes and Petey Wheatstraw, who called himself the devil's son-in-law. And you'd hear this country music that was the blues, but it was also music of a dream, too. Trouble in mind says, the sun's gonna shine in my back door someday.
I'm troubled in mind, Babe, I'm so blue. Yes, but I won't be blue always. You know the sun gonna shine in my back door someday.
Later on, you went on and interviewed some of these people, including Big Bill Brunsey. What was he like?
Big Bill, to me, and this is a tragedy, I think, he's hardly mentioned by writers of rock and blues and all. They mention Muddy Waters, who's very good. Muddy was a disciple of Big Bill. Big Bill came out of Mississippi, then out of Arkansas. He was a plowhand at the age of 8. And they had little plows for kids. And Big Bill would make up these songs. And even when he'd sing old spirituals, which he would do on occasion, like Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, the way he would sing it, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. And somehow you see the chariots, you know, spirituals. There's a difference between spirituals and gospel music. Spirituals go back to the days of slavery. And a lot of the lyrics were Old Testament prophets and New Testament. And so, didn't my Lord deliver Daniel or Joshua at the Battle of Jericho? They were slavery songs that had double meaning, of course. The River Jordan is the swamp that separates free from slave country. Gospel music came later, after emancipation.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about your old friend, the great gospel singer Mahalia Jackson, you say she belonged to the people on the street. What did you mean by that?
Well, simply that. She didn't lose her background. Remember, she used to scrub floors. She's from New Orleans originally. And later on came to Chicago hoping to become a beautician. And she studied that. And she worked in kitchens. In fact, she nursed white babies as well. So the people all knew her. Her hands were calloused, working class woman's hands, you know. And they knew her. They called her Mahalia or that. But the whites didn't know her. But I did. I was the white guy who played Move On Up a Little Higher.
Meet old man Danger.
Mahalia Jackson, our guest this morning. Mahalia, I'm thinking about you and this song. Now, I've known you since about 1946. That'd be about 17 years you've known one another, Mahalia.
That's right.
I think about this song. Your recognition as an internationally known artist, a black woman, a singer of gospel songs, spirituals.
Mm-hmm.
What meaning does this song have for you today?
Well, you got to keep moving, and you got to have heart, and you got to just suffer, but you got to keep on moving. And then there's so many people is ready to move, ready to come up out of poverty, come up out of oppression. And that's the meaning of it. As Dr. Martin Luther King said, walk together, children, don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting in the promised land. And this promised land is right here in America. I was born here and ain't going here. Expect to die right here too. If they kill me for freedom, then I'll be buried on the land of free, as it is said, right in America. But we're going to walk together right here, sing together, shout together, and also fight together.
And you're on your way.
I'm on my way.
You're on your way, my hand.
That's right.
Move up a little higher. Meet the Hebrew children.
Later on, she insisted that I be the host of a radio show on the CBS network she had after I was fired from different programs because of my loud mouth, you know.
Because of your politics.
During McCarthy days, especially. And so I got canned here, I got canned there. And in the meantime, Mahalia is known internationally. And so CBS planned this weekly program Friday nights. Amelia insisted I be the host of it. Well, one day another guy comes in from New York. This guy was from CBS, New York. He comes on stage during a dress rehearsal, and he showed me a piece of paper to sign. He says, "It's just a form thing, nothing to it, but it's a loyalty oath." I said, "I don't take this. I am what I am. Popeye the Sailor Man. I know I'm an American. I'd have to put down I am not this." And so Mahalia passes by. She hears this little dispute, and she knew all about me. She used to say, "Studs, you got such a big mouth, you should have been a preacher." And so she hears this guy saying one thing or another. Finally, she says to the guy, "Look, you tell it to Mr. Big in New York. You tell him if they fire Studs Terkel to find another Mahalia Jackson." Mm. And you know what happened? Nothing happened. We ran through the course. What's the moral? The moral is to say no. At times, if you think the authority is wrong. That's what this country was founded on. Thomas Paine, in 1791, after he wrote Common Sense, wrote another book. He was the great visionary of the American Revolution. Said, speaking out, a cat looking at a king, an ordinary citizen saying to a president, "Bugger off if you're wrong." And so that's what this country was all about.
Now, another person you talked to was Bob Dylan back in 1963, just as he was emerging as a major folk star. What was he like?
Well, he was a young kid. I remember my first comment to him was, "Why did I say, where'd you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?" Because that was a song at the time. He was 22, a young kid, and it was mostly analyzing one of his early great songs, "Hard Rain's Gonna Fall." And he sang it, too, for me with his guitar. And I thought he meant atomic rain. So I assumed that the atomic rain is, no, it's beyond that. Rain. And he meant in the broad sense of the word, what one human is doing to another, as though he were prophetic, as they're calling the shot on today, is going to fall. Meaning what? Our human species is going to go? Well, it's possible, you know, it's quite, we have the facilities, and they, whoever they are, would have the facilities we have to knock each other off. At the same time, this technology that can destroy us all saves our lives. I'm here because of technology. I should have been dead, as my father and two brothers were, in the 50s, because the family has angina, and I was given up 9 years ago until they performed this quintuple bypass. Mm-hmm. And here I was revived, saved by it. So machinery plays that role, too. Depends. Do we or do we not have liberating voices?
That's Studs Terkel talking with Steve Paulson. Terkel's book is called And They All Sang, Adventures of an Eclectic Disc Jockey. A special thanks to High Bridge Audio for excerpts of his old interviews.